Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. Streaming Plus License, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope Church.
We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And if Mason's got it on the screen already, and if you don't mind, if you're capable of standing, would you please honor the reading of God's word by standing as we read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My Father God, I come before you today, dear God. I seek, dear God, your anointing. I seek your power. I seek your unction, dear God, to be upon me by the Holy Ghost, that I might bring forth this word today in a way, dear God, that it would uplift and glorify the name of your Son, Jesus, that it would edify this body of believers, dear God, that they might receive from this word, that might be blessed by it, and they might, their souls might be nourished by this word, and that this word goes forward, dear God, in a way that would glorify you and be a sound of joy in your ears. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, I thank you and pray. And everybody said, Amen. You can be seated. You know, this is a season of tradition. A season when we are faced with multitudes of traditions. Some of them are biblically based. Some of them are not. We were discussing in Sunday school class this morning how there are so many people out there who like to take the traditions of Christmas and make something pagan out of them. And, you know, that as long as we don't know where the origins are of some of these things and we use it to celebrate the Lord, who knows what's pagan and what's not. But there's so many things about the Christmas season and the Christmas traditions that we use that can glorify God and that were based in Scripture. Hallelujah. Now, we celebrate the season of Christ's birth on December, but all things point to it was probably in October. But, you know, there's a lot of different things about that that people say, well, that's pagan. It's somebody else's birthday. It's somebody else's, it was planned. Well, you know what? Let everybody believe that if they want to. I'm going to take this time of year, and I'm going to glorify my Savior. And I'm going to celebrate the fact that he came to this earth to save me and to save you. Amen. Somebody glorify God. Now we have a beautiful nativity scene set up outside. And we've had a nativity scene for several years, but this is the first year it's been as beautiful as it is. And we owe a lot of that to Brother Donnie Cooper for coming out and helping me build. There's a whole lot of helping me going on, trust me. It was every now and then I would lend a hand and Donnie was doing it. That's what it was.
It was my pleasure.
It was a blessing to be out there with you that day, Donnie. I enjoyed that time. And we've got a beautiful manger scene out there, but do you know what's wrong with that manger scene out there? There's some biblically incorrect things out there, and there's some historically incorrect things in every nativity scene across the country. Like, number one, the Magi weren't there when he was born. They didn't show up till 2 years later in a cave in another country from where he was born. And they brought him those gifts so that he could survive because his family was in hiding for fear of being killed. And so the Magi weren't there. The three wise men were not there. And also, it is not true that the Magi were firemen. Simply because the Bible says they came from afar does not mean they were farming. There's another Christmas tradition about the Nativity that's incorrect. Now, when I was at another church, there was this very learned woman who was a Bible teacher and a Bible scholar. And I was teaching one day on the Christmas season, and I was teaching about the manger, and I said that the Lord was born in a feeding trough. And she got red hot mad with me and blistered me upside and one down the other because I said the Lord was born in a feeding trough. Do y'all know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough.
Hello.
She thought it was a cradle. And she got mad at me because I said the Lord was born in a feeding trough. A manger is a feeding trough. But here's the misrepresentation. The mangers were not made of wood. Do you know about how long that manger right there would stand up under when several cows come up there to feed out of it? About 30 minutes before they'd have it in a pile on the floor, on the ground. So they didn't feed big wild animals, but big farm animals out of a trough made out of wood like that. They didn't do it. The manger was traditionally made out of stone. It was hewn out, carved out like a big stone bowl, probably about that size and shape, but it was a stone bowl. And it was used to feed the cattle because it kept, what's the word I'm looking for? It kept varmints out from underneath, from getting in underneath.
That's right.
While the cattle were feeding. And it was also, the manger was also used, you're going to love this piece of information, the manger was also used by the high priests as a place to put the lamb, the newborn lamb, when it was born. Wait a minute. And it was not just any lamb. It was only the lamb that was born without spot and blemish. the perfect sacrifice lamb. Oh, I'm getting ready to mess with you some more. Do you know what else they done? Swaddling clothes was not a baby blanket. Swaddling clothes was something that the priest used to wrap up and protect that precious spotless lamb before they put it in that manger of stone. And when they put that precious lamb in that manger of stone, they put it there. It was not a cradle. It was a feeding trough. But it was also a means of protection for that precious, spotless, brand new baby lamb. Because they would lay that baby lamb right there and no snake would be able to get in from the bottom and crawl between the cracks of the wood. They would be able to see one getting over it while they were working. They were protecting that precious, precious lamb. And they would, now think about this now. They wrapped the sacrificial lamb, the lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of that family. They wrapped them in that swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger. Now, Bethlehem was a place that was famous for their unblemished lambs being born to the flock. So most of the families would get a sacrificial lamb. They would go to Bethlehem and buy one. So when it came time of the year for them to offer the sacrificial lamb, they would have one that was perfect, without spot and without blemish. Now, I want you to understand something here. The only time that the manger is mentioned during the time of the story of Christ's birth is when that the angels are speaking to the shepherds. Now let me explain something to you here. I have learned some things this week in studying and preparing. I have learned about, see, shepherds, they had this problem. They didn't hardly ever tell the truth. They didn't hardly ever speak the truth, and they were never allowed to be witnesses in a court of law because nobody could trust their testimony. And they were of the lowest class of people. But God chose the shepherds. And I used to say that God chose the shepherds as a means of announcing Christ's birth because he wanted it to be known to all the world, to even the common man, that the Savior of the world had come. And that's still true. But there's another very strong reason that the Lord wanted the announcement to be made to the shepherds. Because he wanted that story told for centuries and for decades. And he wanted that story told in perpetuity. And what he wanted told was from somebody who understood exactly what was going on. Because if anybody knew what it meant for a baby to be born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger for the sins of the world, the shepherds understood. They knew about the practice of the priest taking that spotless, precious lamb and putting it in that manger as a means of protection. Oh, saints of God, do you not see where we are right here with this thing? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he was born, that precious angel, that precious lamb, without spot and without blemish. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger. And it represented the fact that the sacrificial lamb had been born and put in there for a means of protection. Hallelujah. Because there were enemies out to kill him. Because there were enemies out there wanting to stop the fact that we had a Savior that had been born. And the shepherds knew exactly what that meant. The Lord said to the shepherds, he sent the angel, and the angel spoke and said, "And this shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign unto you." It wasn't so much of them saying, "Oh, I can tell you how to find out where Jesus is. He's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes laid in a manger." That's not what he was saying. He was saying, "This shall be a sign unto you that the Savior is born. The Lamb of God has been born. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, just like all the other sacrificial lambs that you have seen in years gone by. I have given you the salvation of the world. The precious Lamb of God has been born, and he is laid in a manger, and he is waiting there in his place of protection. Go and see the Lord, and then go and tell. Now, I want you to imagine being one of these shepherds who had a reputation for never being able to tell the truth. Because they were always trying to lie about something, some way to get over on something. But can you imagine being one of those shepherds? And an angel, and then a multitude of the heavenly host appearing before you, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And the angels of God appearing before them, and they said, "Go down into Bethlehem and to the city of David, to the stable, and find the Lamb of God, who is, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Can you imagine being those shepherds and going and seeing that and realizing at the time that you saw that, you would see the sacrificial lamb, which is the baby Jesus. You would see it and you would realize, there lays my salvation. There lies the Son of God. Here I am. It's like when the publican and the Pharisee went before the temple to pray, and the Pharisee went to the altar, and he prayed, "Lord, touch me, and I thank you that I'm not like this vile, wretched publican over here. I thank you that I tithe weekly. I give offerings. I thank you that I pray all the time. I thank you that I got respect in this community." And that publican over there beating his chest saying, "Dear Lord, forgive me, a sinner." Hallelujah. Being one of those shepherds is in being in the same place as that lowly publican, being there looking and seeing, suddenly realizing that your life has been a life strewn with lies and with deceit. And suddenly your eyes behold the Lamb of God. Can you imagine being there? I know myself, looking at my own life before I came to Jesus, before Jesus reached down and pulled me up, the night that he forgave my sin, I was marveled. I was astonished, because I knew how wicked and how evil, how horrible I was, how deplorable I was. And suddenly, that precious Lamb of God, God's very own Son, entered into my life, and his blood upon the cross at Calvary washed away all of that life that I was before I came to him, before I met that precious Lamb of God. Now, I didn't see him as a spotless lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, but I saw him as my salvation. I saw him as my redeemer. I saw him as my champion. I saw him because I knew that he had washed away all my sin. And that was the very reason that he was born in a manger. That precious Lamb of God. I will never look at the manger scene. I will never think about the manger again in the same way that I have. Now, my perception of that event has been forever changed. Because the very birth, the very way he was brought into, think about it. He was born in a stable, in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. We talked about it in Sunday school class this morning. The governor, Caesar, they were being evil and greedy. And they called everybody home so they could tax them for all their money. That's why they brought them home. And it was basically like the convention was in town and there was no empty rooms in any inn anywhere. And his wife was ready to be delivered and Joseph had to take her into a stable. And he might be thinking how horrible it was that his precious son, the Son of God, would have to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. But God wasn't thinking that. God was thinking, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The precious Lamb of God is born. The manger now will be forevermore more significant to me than it ever was. How is it to you? How precious is the thought of the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, being born as a precious, spotless lamb. He was in heaven, fully matured, fully wise. And he chose to answer the call of the Father and be sent to this earth as a baby, as a helpless child, and grow up facing all the trials and all the temptations and all the wickedness that would come against us, it would come against him as well. And that he would forevermore be a spotless lamb without sin. Hallelujah. Knowing that one day he would be taken from the cradle and put upon the cross. The cross of Calvary. Like the sacrificial lamb. His side pierced, his hands and feet pierced, the crown of thorns upon his head. And he spent that entire time on earth realizing what it was for. It was for me. It was for you. It was for every human being that's ever been born or ever will be. Hallelujah. The sacrificial lamb. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The precious Lamb of God. Would you bow your heads with me? That precious child lying in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes came for you. He came for me. He came for your brothers and sisters, your children, your parents, your aunts and uncles, your cousins. He came for them all. And he gave his spotless life at the cross of Calvary so that you would have the opportunity. When he gave his life, it was not a guarantee that you were going to heaven. Because that depended on you. And some people, even after hearing the truth of the sacrifice of the cross, they will refuse to accept that salvation. But he did it anyway, knowing that there would be those who would refuse that sacrifice that he made. He did it anyway. Where are you this morning? This Christmas season, where is your soul? Do you have it all under the blood? Did he come for you and you're going to pass it by? Did he pay that price for you and you're just going to let it be for nothing? You could pray right where you are. You could pray watching from your home or from your car, wherever you are, listening from your car. You can accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can accept Him as your salvation, because that's why He came. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be unto the living God. Don't turn him away today. Don't turn him away. Accept him. Receive him. Accept his salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, dear God. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice made. We thank you for coming to this earth so that we might be saved. We thank you, dear God, for your love and grace and mercy, your power and your spirit. Father, let your will be done in the lives and hearts of men and women under the sound of my voice, dear God. Let them come unto you for salvation. Let them come unto you, dear God, to make their election sure. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and you were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.